And before Sebastian Sheets, one of our board members, comes and introduces Tom, I want to play what was played this morning in Quito, Ecuador, to open their conference this morning. It's been going for 3 days, so I hope it comes through. Shofar, yes.
Bill, I think, cornered Tom about a year ago and said, hey, we'd love for you to come and talk at our meeting. And Tom said, well, I've got a baby on the way. I don't know if I can do that just yet. And now that baby is almost one. And he's here with us. Where's Steve? He's playing. Okay. And he is almost exactly 9 years different from my son, who turns 10 on May 16th, and your son will turn 1 on May 14th. And that's one of three kids that Tom and Jackie have. They've been married for 10 years. Annette is 5, James is 3, and then we're blessed to be in the presence of Stephen today. Tom is from Houston, but he moved here during the pandemic. Like a lot of people, they moved to Dallas during the pandemic. We didn't get a lot of people moving from Houston, but Tom was one of them, and we're happy to have you. I say Dallas, he lives in Frisco. The people in Frisco really want you to know that they're in Frisco, not in Dallas. Kind of like people in Fort Worth, you know, they're like, yeah, I don't live in Dallas, I'm in Fort Worth. I don't want to be associated with those Dallas folks. Tom is in real estate. He and his two brothers started, and a guy whose last name is Marshall, started a real estate firm. They wanted someone to come up to Dallas, and Tom said, I'll be the one. So he and his family moved here, and outside of real estate, I think that he'll tell you what they're really passionate about is advancing God's kingdom. And he and his wife have been all over the world, Africa, the Middle East, and they've got a passion for that. They even have a nonprofit called 100X Harvest, or 100 Times Harvest. Tom's going to come and talk to us today about his dad's, what his dad's faith meant to him. So without any further ado, I'd really like you to put your hands together, and let's let the audio really ring out all this applause when we bring up Tom Dosh.
Thanks, Sebastian. Well, Sebastian kind of stole my intro about being cornered by Bill, because that's pretty much exactly what happened. I had just moved to Dallas probably a month before, and I got introduced to Bill through a common acquaintance. We grabbed lunch together, and I told Bill just about my family and my upbringing, and that's what I'm going to share with you guys today. And he's like, I'd love for you to come speak at a luncheon. And I was like, come speak at a luncheon about fatherhood, you know, and I have two kids. I've got one on the way. I've been a dad at that point for 4 years. Now it's been 5. And so pretty intimidating, obviously. So I was hoping that he'd forget. And so when he kept following up, and he's really good at following up, I probably got 15 emails or so. I let the first 3 go, and then I responded. And then Sebastian got put on the emails, and then it felt like this is probably going to happen. So I agreed to April 2022, which felt like 10 years away. And now here we are, April 2022. So appreciate all of you being here and just getting to share a little bit about my family, my dad, who's here today, drove up from Houston yesterday with my mom. My little brother John is here as well, my wife Jackie, and our one-year-old that Sebastian introduced. But let me just start maybe by praying, and then love to get started. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for this time right now to, Lord, talk about just slowing down and thinking about your word and thinking about your work in our lives, thinking about how you work through things that are completely out of control, like who our father is, Lord, the kids that you provide as a blessing for us that we get to steward and influence, Lord. And just pray that you would use the collective wisdom and passion in this room to serve you and honor you, Lord, to bring about as Bill said, just the sharpening of men's lives on each other. And Lord, just pray that there be something that would be communicated today, Lord, that would encourage, and Lord, that you would be honored and glorified through the time. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to start by reading a psalm, just a short psalm that you'll probably be familiar with, but Psalm 127. And it says, unless the Lord builds the house, and those who build it labor in vain, unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. And so I wanted to give a little bit of background on my family and my dad's upbringing, because that's really a lot of what I wanted to discuss today. And I love this verse because it talks about the middle verse about children being a blessing from the Lord. Our world doesn't necessarily always see children as a blessing. I firmly believe that. And being one of seven children that were born to my parents, they obviously really believe that. And but a little bit of background about my dad before going through just a few lessons learned from him. So he was born to a military vet from World War II, whose father passed away in a car accident when my grandfather was 4 years old. His mother became an alcoholic, and my grandfather was sent to military school at the age of four with his three brothers, because his mom just couldn't handle having four boys and just all their energy and everything going on. Well, the oldest son really excelled, did really well in military school. My grandfather didn't, and he spent over 10 years trying to run away from military school. He eventually did. He was able to make it from California to the East Coast. He got an aunt in the East Coast to sign off on his age at 15 to join the Navy and then to be shipped overseas for World War II. So he was in Africa for World War II. He was in combat from about the age of 15 to 18 and then came back. And as an 18-year-old was back in the U.S. and started his life. But he really struggled with PTSD because of that. And so that was the background that my dad entered into when my grandfather had him. My grandfather was not a believer, struggling with PTSD, so there was a lot of just mental things going on. And so my dad, you know, just didn't have the best upbringing. He had a father that cared about him but didn't really know how to show that he cared about him. And definitely not a father that understood abiding and the need to abide with Christ, and that's really what results in true fatherhood. Well, for my dad, he actually met the Lord in high school at a youth event. And it was there that he really made the decision, and then with my mom when they were married in their early 20s, that they wanted to raise their kids to follow the Lord, and that they wanted to make very intentional decisions in the lives of any children that God would bless them with to follow the Lord. And that looked like they ended up having seven children, which they didn't know they would have seven children, but they did. And they homeschooled all of us from kindergarten all the way through high school, which going through that at times was difficult because I was the kid that was different, especially back then because there weren't as many kids that were homeschooled, and there wasn't the same level of maybe support there is today. But looking back on it, and they always told us this was the reason, they wanted us to have a biblical worldview and a biblical foundation for our lives. And they knew that, just like this verse says, we're arrows in the quiver. We're at home, and we're under their care. We're under their leadership, but someday we're going to be sent out, and they wanted to prepare us, and that was the way that they felt like God wanted them to prepare us, was just seeking him and being able to study his word daily. Things like after breakfast, we would read a proverb together, which you don't normally get to do that at school, right? And talk through that. But that really, that intentionality that they had and the decisions they made, which were sacrifices on their end, had a great impact on me. So what I remember from growing up, When I was one of those seven arrows in the quiver of my parents, specifically with my dad, was that he really took the time to instill in me just a number of different important character traits, like hard work, taking ownership, taking responsibility. From probably the age of three or four, I remember any money that I was getting from doing chores or finding in the couch or whatever it was, that was going into my college fund that I would be paying for my own college. It was, you're going to work hard, you're going to go to college, and you're going to pay for it, because there's seven of you guys, and so that's just the way it's going to be. And so that taught me a lot. And being homeschooled, I learned that you know, you're given your assignment, but then it's up to you to go complete your assignment. And so I kind of had, you know, the way it works in college, I pretty much had from middle school on. I was used to that type of work. But an area that I really see just a significant impact from Dad was just the presence that he had in our home and the intentionality. He worked for an oil company, and so we moved like 8 times before I was out of high school. We were always moving from Montana to Oklahoma to back to Texas and back to Midland and back to Houston and a lot of the same places, but we always were moving. And he was always very present. Even having 7 kids, he was going to work early. Normally, he would leave the house at 4:30 or 5, and then he'd be home in time for a family dinner every night. Coached most of our sports teams, taught me so much, just in life, academics, but also sports, just how to throw a football, you know, playing baseball in the backyard, all those things. There's always an excuse, is what I found, to not be present, and it can be really hard to be mentally present even when you are present. But that example of Dad being present in my life and making me feel valued, and being able to do that with 7 kids, I don't even really know how he did that, because I can't imagine doing that now that I have 3. But he did, and he made sacrifices. Like, I remember when I think I was 6, read through the entire Narnia series with me every night for the course of months. You know, just took that time with me one-on-one, which really small thing, and, you know, or seems like a small thing, but something I still remember today. So just that, the presence that he had, the mental and emotional presence, the leadership that he would have with us, you know, reading God's word together, praying together every night, seeing him and his walk with the Lord, that he was really seeking the Lord. And it encouraged me and my older siblings, my younger siblings, just to see that example that he would set. And I looked through, Bill has these bookmarks that are really cool that talk about discipleship elements as a father. And I was just kind of thinking about growing up and thinking about the blessing that my dad's been in my life, and going through each one of these wondering, you know, did dad do these things, and just kind of making a check mark. And it's a huge blessing, because I know it's not everyone has a dad that fulfills the role, but that my dad, and not in a perfect way, but he did really seek to fulfill this role. And all I can say is he didn't know about Bill, and he didn't know about this, but he knew about John 15, and he had a relationship with Jesus, and that's what was important. And this comes from that, which I think is so neat. So those are just some of the things when I was, like I said, still an arrow in the quiver of my parents. But the idea was that we were all going to be shot out, and that's why they were teaching us responsibility and ownership and independence. And your faith needs to be your own. It's not about you're born in this family and so you're automatically, you know, a believer and following Christ. Like, you have to make those decisions on your own. And so, when the time got closer for us to go out and go to college, and we all ended up going to Texas A&M, it just kind of worked out that the first one did something, everyone else did something. So we all took that path. But I was able to really just understand that there was a lot of intentionality around purpose. And what is the purpose for Tom to be here? What was the purpose for my older brother, Tim, to be here? And seeing Dad and the purpose that he had, he didn't define himself just by his work, or even just by his family. He defined himself as a follower of Christ and being a faithful follower of Christ and seeking to be a faithful follower of Christ. And so later in life, and since I don't have a ton of time, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit, but more recently, and what might be more applicable to some of you if you have older kids or kids my age, has been what Dad and I have been able to do after that preparation time when I've been sent out and into the world. Now I have my own family. I have my own children in the quiver, and someday I'll be sending them out. Has really been, we've been able to think about what's our calling, what are the skills and gifts that God's given each of us, and how can we use them? And so we started this nonprofit together that Sebastian mentioned, 100 Times Harvest, and it really just came out of a passion that we had for ministry and missions. That growing up, if I wasn't going to go into business, I was going to be a missionary. That's what I wanted to do, and then I realized that God had gifted me in an area where I could be a businessman, but I could also be in ministry full-time at the same time, just maybe not a minister in Africa. And so it looks a little different, but I've gotten to do it. And so when Dad finished his career in oil and gas after 35 years, he came on full-time to run this nonprofit. And it's meant just sharing resources of time together, giving together to different ministries. Abiding Fathers is a ministry that we've partnered with recently. Just trying to see the kingdom of God moved through ministries by connecting them or partnering with them resource-wise, but also traveling and going. So with my dad and my mom, we've gotten to go to Cuba and Greece and Turkey and Lebanon and Israel and several different companies, gotten to work with refugees, gotten to work with persecuted pastors in Syria, and just gotten to see God's work and his impact in people's lives and how he's moving and working. And it's really, it's been incredible to get to do that with my dad and to get to share that together. And our relationship now, because I was raised to be independent, he's not sending me to time out anymore. You know, I mean, I'm an adult now, so that's not happening anymore. But we have a real relationship where I really respect my dad and really love him and care about him. And I know that he also has raised me to be a man that he can also respect what he's raised me to be, and that we can pursue the Lord together. But he's really set up this legacy with our family of seven children that by God's grace are walking with the Lord, and 20 grandchildren, and just, you know, many, many blessings that have come with that. And what's really neat to think about is my grandfather, who I mentioned had, you know, difficult upbringing, didn't know the Lord, did end up becoming a believer. And a lot of that was to do with my dad's impact on him. So that direction, this direction generationally, and then future generations. And my grandfather's still alive. He's a believer. He's in his mid-90s and just voracious reader, loves the Lord. He was still a part of college groups in his 80s, just spending time sharing the gospel with college students and caring about them. And it's just neat to see how God can work and can move and can use us in those ways. And it's all his work. And that's the other reason I like this verse I picked. It said, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. And so it's not about just our effort and our work. We can't make it happen. It has to be because of God's work. But I've realized and been told it is God's providence with our initiative. We can't sit back and not be intentional. And I've learned that intentionality from my dad, and just been a huge blessing to have him as a big, big influence and impact on my life. So that's what I share with Bill, and that's why I'm here. And that's kind of the message for today. So